Politics and terrorists aren't the only things in today's headlines. Here are two others. David Rockefeller died last Monday. He was 101 years old. David Rockefeller was the CEO and the chairman of the board of Chase Manhattan Bank. He was the last living grandchild of John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller, the teetotaling Baptist, who in 1870 founded one of the great corporations in American history, Standard Oil. That's exactly right. Then, the next day, last Tuesday, Sears Roebuck and Company made this announcement. They said, "Our historical operating results indicate substantial doubt related to the company's ability to continue as a going concern." Sears Roebuck and Company, the Chicago merchandiser whose catalog was once second only to the Bible in rural America, just can't compete anymore with that ubiquitous new at-home shopping craze, Amazon. These watershed headlines send tremors through our nation's history, and they also touch my own history. Now remember, Jesus taught with parables. He told stories of divine perspective. He painted word masterpieces that for us are treasures of light and love. So here's a modern parable. A parable about the company town. In 1907, John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil could sense that there was going to be a need for gasoline. Gasoline, that unwanted byproduct of the refining process that up to that point, or not so many years before it, was being dumped into the rivers because it had no use. A need for gasoline. So Standard Oil decided that they would build a new refinery on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River, just north of St. Louis. And then 2 years later, in 1909, Standard Oil established a planned community for that refinery's workers and their families. They organized a fire department, a city band, they built a school, they built a union church building, they built a community center, and they built the largest municipal swimming pool in the United States. Then, straight out of the Sears catalog, they placed the biggest order that was ever placed for modern home kit houses and had them assembled to house their workers in this company town, my hometown, Wood River, Illinois. Let's play a little game. I'll name the town. You tell me what company built it. Whiting, Indiana. Standard Oil again, correct. Gary, Indiana. United States Steel, exactly. Kohler, Wisconsin. The Kohler Company, without which we wouldn't have bathtubs and toilets. Pullman, Illinois. Exactly, the Pullman Palace Car Company. These companies built towns, whole towns, to create controlled environments that encouraged wholesome lifestyles, loyal workers, and most importantly, high productivity. Or as Merle Travis wrote, and Tennessee Ernie Ford sang, you load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. Jesus tells a parable today about a landowner. A landowner who built a town. A company town. And into the marketplace of that town, this landowner went 5 times each day. And every time he went to the marketplace of the town he'd built, he'd hire anyone he could find who stood idle so that they could work in his vineyard. Now, Pam, I do hate to disappoint you, but he didn't go hire his first workers at 9 a.m. He went at 6. And with those workers, he agreed that he would pay them a day's wage, or as we learned last week, a denarius. And then he did go at 9, and at noon, and at 3 p.m, and finally at 5. And he said to those he hired at those times that he would pay them what was right. He'd pay them what was right. At the end of the day, that landowner paid the ones that he had hired at 5 p.m. first. And he gave them a denarius, a day's wage. And then he did the same thing for those he'd hired at 3 p.m. And then for those he hired at noon. And then for those he hired at 9 a.m. And finally, for those he hired at 6 at sunup, he also paid them 1 denarius. Well, that group, the first hired and the last paid, they were the ones who had worked for 12 hours. They were the ones who had worked through the heat of the day, and they were furious. Why? Why should they get the same pay as those who had only worked that 1 last hour of the day? They took their complaint to the landowner and laid it before him. And the landowner looked at them and said to them, didn't I pay you what I promised? Can't I do what I want to do with what I have? Or are you envious because I'm generous? Well, sure they were. But the real reason they were so angry was because they knew deep down in their bones that that landowner simply was not fair. Like we so often have, these workers had a time clock mentality. The motivation for their work was their pay, their wages, their money. And they expected, they knew what was fair, that it was to get paid for the time they put in, right down to the minute. But this landowner had a different mentality. It wasn't about a time clock. It was about gracious providence. For him, doing what was right went far deeper than wages. It went straight to the needs of his workers. Whether they had worked for 1 hour or for 12, he paid each one a denarius, 1 day's wage. Or as Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. For the landowner, laboring in the vineyard was all the motivation and reward that his workers needed. The work itself gave these laborers their purpose, their meaning, and yes, their joy. So what that means is that those who began at 6 a.m. got 12 times the fulfillment as those who began at 5 in the afternoon. Now, friends, Jesus is perfectly clear about three things in this parable. First of all, the landowner is God, because this parable says Jesus is about the kingdom of heaven. Second, we, you and I, are the laborers in the vineyard. And the vineyard, number three, is God's realm. And what the parable teaches us is that laboring in the vineyard isn't just a job. It's the work to which the landowner calls us. It is our vocation. A word that means to be called. More than that, the vineyard is our home. It's where we get everything that we need. And maybe most important of all, it's where we participate in making the justice and the mercy of God's love real in our world today. Standard Oil was the only place, the only company my dad ever worked for. During his career, the name of that company changed. Standard Oil, American Oil, Amoco, and now BP, British Petroleum. The name changed. But Dad's loyalty never changed. He simply would not buy any other gasoline but American Oil or Amoco or Standard. And I still feel guilty when I do. In 1967, 50 years ago this month, Dad was in a bad accident at the refinery. The injuries he sustained were life-shattering and life-shortening. In the months after the accident, what slowly became apparent to my dad was that Standard Oil was interested in limiting their liability, not in maximizing their loyalty to him. And my dad felt betrayed. And he became bitter and a broken person. One more parable. A parable about Ralph. Now, friends, there is no bigger challenge, at least for me, there is no bigger challenge in relocating, in moving to a new community, than finding a good barber. Barbers, you know, aren't just about haircuts. They're about counseling and confidence. The first barber I visited after we moved to Glenview was terrible. The second barber I went to was fine. But then he got so sick he couldn't come back. The third barber I visited was worse than the first. But the fourth one is great. Thank you, Tom Thurison, for your recommendation. Ralph. Ralph the barber. Ralph cut my hair on Friday, and he told me a story. Ralph grew up in Italy, and he learned his trade beside his father, who was a barber before him. Then Ralph came to this country, and he's been cutting hair for 55 years. More than that, Ralph does not plan ever to retire. You see, Ralph says, barbering is kind of like my hobby. It's his life. There isn't anything Ralph loves to do more. Because you see, his greatest satisfaction is taking care of his steady customers and meeting new ones. As Ralph said to me just 2 days ago, I get to do this every day, and I even get paid for doing it. Barbering isn't just a job for Ralph. It's the way he gives, the way he contributes to the greater good. It fills his life with meaning. For Ralph, it's a worthy vocation. How is it for you? Is your work a job, or is it a calling? Is getting money your motivation and your reward, or is giving what makes a difference in the lives of others? Giving that changes other lives, is that what urges you on? God calls us all to work in the vineyard of God's realm, to use our talents and our gifts to share God's love. Friends, of this I am certain, God calls us each to a worthy vocation, a life where we can give greatly because we receive abundantly. As Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. What work of love is God calling you to do in the vineyard? What is your worthy vocation? Well, let's get to work. Amen.